What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, and we're back for another installment of Scam Goddess, the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Sometimes we love them, sometimes we hate them. And y'all know, if you listen to this podcast, I'm very what? Yes, parasocial girlies. What's up, Blue's Clues, baddies? Yes, I'm very excited, thrilled, elated even for today's guest. Today we have an amazing guest on the show. She's a comedian, writer, and actress. You can check out her hilarious Netflix, come on Netflix, da-dung, special entitled If You Didn't Want Me Then, and it is out now. Congregation, please welcome Beth Stelling to the show. Hello, Beth.
Hi, Lacey. Thank you so much for having me in that amazing intro.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here. We have been acquaintances circulating.
I think the last time I saw you was Largo.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was, like, on 10. I, like, popped backstage and was, like, with Jared just acting a fool.
I like that spot.
I do like that spot.
Especially it's a different vibe than, say, a comedy club.
Right, or, like, UCB. Yeah. Or, like, yeah. I have never actually performed at the Largo, which is shocking to me.
You'll have to.
I know. I'm going to have to go pull up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, like, they were... You're improv, I'm not, but yeah. And you're very good.
I mean, I do stand-up, too.
Yeah, but they have those improv shows that I feel like...
Yeah, they do. They do a lot of improv shows there. I don't know why I've never performed there.
I just mean you have way more chances to get up there because, like, you can do either. You do it all.
Oh, man. Beth, I mean, you do a lot. You do a lot, honey. You be in these streets.
I feel like they make you. You know what I mean? Like, you get here and you're like, I'm a stand-up comic. And then if you get representation, they're like... So we're going to need you to make money. We need to write a script and act and do all these things.
Oh, child.
You start getting to do everything. I mean, I guess we all, you get it.
Yeah, I do. But it's kind of a scam because I feel like back in the day, actors used to like get a TV show and then they would just do that TV show. And then maybe, you know, they do movies or whatever, but they would have like one job at a time.
That would be nice.
I have like 12 jobs. Yes. And I'm like, what happened? I have more jobs than a Jamaican. How did I get here? How? Like, literally.
I know, and people praise it, which, of course, they should. It's amazing that you're so busy.
I'm not rebuking it.
I know you're
God,
not.
God, don't take it back from me.
I know you're not, but it is interesting, right? Because it's like, it's a lot.
Yeah, and then sometimes
and everybody wants it, and when you're having it, it's truly can be stressful. I was writing on a show at the same time, like, getting ready to film that special, and sometimes I felt like I was not doing each job to the best of my ability. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's the benefit of being a genius, Beth, is that even when you're like, am I phoning this in? Everybody's like, damn, this is so good. You're like, I don't think I'm giving this my best. They're like, wow.
We don't want to see you try.
That's the benefit of being a woman in this industry. It's like, we're already given like 10 times of half of the mediocre men. So they're like, wow, this is so good.
We're not used to you.
Right. You trying? Yeah. That's crazy. We got to keep her all here because she cares.
That part, the caring.
Right, the caring. Oh, when I stopped caring a little bit, then people really were like, they were like, oh, her, she hates it here. We love her.
Isn't that, that's interesting too, right? Like when you want something so bad, it's almost like they can smell the desperation. They find a disgusting.
Yep. We talk about that on this podcast so a lot. The despo meter. Whenever you want something real bad, you got to check it and like walk it back. Take a second. Take a beat.
Yeah.
We talk about that with scams all the time. If you want something really badly, you really have to check yourself. If it's a relationship, if it's a car, money, you have to walk into everything like you're browsing. Love, shopping, you know, even medical situations. If you're going to a doctor, browse, bitch. I had a friend who has fibroids, and I had fibroids, and I ended up having surgery and a few procedures last year. Three, actually. It was rough. But I had a friend who also had fibroids, so I was talking to her about it. And she said she went to a doctor who was like, oh, okay, well, you can get this shot. It'll put you into menopause. And I know about this shot. It'll put you into early menopause. She's 29.
Wow.
And it'll put you into early menopause, but it'll shrink the fibroid. And when I was told about this shot, they were like, okay, well, think about it and let us know if you want to do it. And so I came back, you know, I thought about it and I was like, I don't want hot flashes right now.
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm a young hoe. I want to be a hot girl. I don't want a hot flash.
Right.
But her experience was the doctor was like, I got the shots in the back right now. Like, we could shoot your ass up right now. I was like,
the pressure. Yeah, it sounds like going to a dermatologist here in LA when you're like trying to go. I remember going for acne and they're like, but what if about your nose? And you're like, excuse me? I liked that part of me.
Do you want to do it right now?
Let me get this in you.
And so if you are desperate, they'll take advantage of that and like yeah, just make the decision for you in the moment.
Yeah, you got to shoot those little antennae up.
Get a second opinion, browse, treat everything like it's ghetto. Like that's how you have to live life.
Smart.
But we always ask on this podcast, what is your relationship to scams? Do you love them? Do you hate them?
I would say...
Have you been scammed? Have you run any?
In preparation for coming to spend time with you, I, of course, had to think on this because I think I'm very wary. I think in that when you say browse, I'm not even in the store. I'm
you're outside looking
I'm
like
outside just pretending I'm walking by, but I'm window shopping. Yeah, I think I'm like extremely wary. That doesn't mean I haven't been scammed. I feel like if we can count this, I would feel like the first time I felt really scammed would have been like quick change. I managed a cafe in Chicago, getting quick changed. That feeling is terrible.
So wait, what is quick change?
Like someone comes in. This is back in the days of cash even.
And then they do
I say your total is 7. Exactly what you're talking about. Hand me 10. And then as I'm giving them the change, they go, but that was a 20. Mm-hmm. And then you just go, was it a 20? And then as they're leaving, yep. It happens so quickly, you're like, that was not a 20. And so I remember that probably that feeling was terrible. As an adult, I feel like I was probably scammed on by Raya.
I have been scammed by Raya as well. Wait, in what way were you scammed by Raya?
I just like who I found on there during the pandemic. I feel like every day around 6 p.m. I was robbed when it came to dinner time and I bought it.
In what way were you robbed?
You're right. It's true. I should have said like, do you want to get it this time? But I just feel like I was
so you were like paying for
funding
dinners.
Our meals. But the truth is, like, if I'm being honest, there were plenty of times where I could have said, like, hey, can you get it this time? It was just almost always assumed that I would. And I'd almost rather
that
person be
who
open.
Who you date?
Who I date?
Yeah.
I'm not with that person anymore.
Okay, so this is one person.
This was a man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he should have been getting it at least once or twice. So.
I know, that it's just, effort. Again, somebody listening would be like, well, you should have asked him. What are you doing? And I think, yes, I hear you. 100% I should have said something. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I guess when you're getting to know somebody and you know that maybe they're not working, you might be in a different place than them. Mm-hmm. I deep within me, I'm going, I wish they would offer to pay for this. And if a tab comes or it comes up, I'm like, I'll get it. I think it's like a storm within me, a tempest. I'm better at it now because I lost so much money.
And you know what? I want to walk back what I said a little bit because, like, gender doesn't matter. Like, we can split the check, like, whatever.
Sure.
Like, I kind of just wanted to know because, like, when I'm with a woman, sometimes I feel like I'm like, ooh.
Right, who?
But because of the patriarchy, when I'm with a man, I'm like, bitch, you better fucking open your wallet, bitch. Okay, we got a pink tax. I got to pay more for my tampons and shit. You better, they just took my coochie rights away in the Supreme Court. You paying. But
I wish I had that attitude.
But with a woman, I'm like, hey, girl, what we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Dutch split it? Or split or you got this time, I got this time. Like, what we doing? But that, you know what? That's interesting because I've had a similar situation. I'm the same way as you. Like, I'll pull my wallet out so fast. I'll throw my card down so
irritating.
Fast. Yeah.
Because it is like I want a treat. I want it to be a gift. I don't know.
And
but then I can grow resentful.
I don't mind paying, but if I am the one who keeps paying,
that.
Then that bothers me. And I did date someone. It was a man. Every man is a scam. And it was a situation where I was doing better financially than they were, but I enjoyed their company. But it got to the point where I was paying, like, oh, God, my mom, I hope my mom doesn't hear this. But, like, you know, it was my birthday, and I bought them a flight out because I wanted to go to a place. I got to be very vague.
Yes.
But, like, or we went to dinner.
I understand this.
And we went to dinner, and they knew I was going to pay, right? Because they're in whatever financial situation that they're in. We go to a nice place because I like to eat fancy or whatever. I'm fine with that. Why did this motherfucker...
Mm-hmm. I know what's coming.
...order the tomahawk steak? Didn't even blink a fucking eye. $75 motherfucking steak. Bro. Broski.
The market fish.
The one that don't even got the price on there. It just say market. We all know that's a scam.
I learned that the hard way.
They just decide what the price is in the back. You know that's a scam.
That is a scam.
When it's on the menu and it just says, I don't know, whatever we feel like.
Truly, that was learned the hard way.
MP? You order an MP on me? I was ready to fight.
I know.
I was sitting there with that, you know, that Arthur meme with the fist.
Yes.
Under the table. Like, I was making the fist.
You? And it's not like I want you to just order a salad. This just feels like there are fine lines there.
Yeah.
Because I've been in the same situation. I wasn't getting it so they would be indebted to me.
Right.
Or whatever. I was getting it because I care and the similar reasons
but
to
have
you.
Have some tact.
I think that, definitely that. And then as well, there wasn't thank yous happening because I think they were probably a little embarrassed that they weren't able to get anything. But I think in those cases, just like, you know, in stand-up, like if something's happening, the best thing to do is call it out or say what's happening. Like, and I agree, I could have done a better job myself. But if he had just said, like, we both know you make more money. As soon as I start making it, I really would like to start treating you. That would have probably let all the air out that was building within me. Or just said, thank you so much for getting this again. I know it can be a lot.
Yeah.
I think all of that would have been great. And I could have also asked for it.
I think what my resolution was.
I've learned.
Yeah, I've learned too. It's a choice. And I had to learn that I was scamming myself by allowing it to happen because we all have choices in life. And like, I had to learn that, like, just because I feel like, oh, I'm a generous person. Like, when you say yes to things that you don't want to say yes to, you're saying no to yourself. And I had
smart.
To stop saying no to myself. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And at this point, this sounds shallow, but it isn't. I feel like this applies to everybody out there. If you can't meet me at a similar financial situation, then we cannot date.
I think
because
it
if
does
we dating,
eventually kind of reach that
you're
point.
You're going to make me poorer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that works for any situation that you're in.
Agreed.
No matter what job you're in, no matter whatever. And
whatever
that's not
gender,
shallow.
Whatever place, yes.
Whatever place. Because, like, eventually it just does not work.
I feel that.
You know what I mean? And I understand building with people and y'all building together, y'all growing together. Go build the house and I'll come decorate. But the house got to be built. I'm not building with you. I'm not Bobisha the builder. And now we've turned it to a different podcast. but that is a scam.
I know. Because
also, like, the scam is that he wasn't saying thank you, too. Like, you're not going to say thank
you. I know.
I would have been in the bathroom beating the hand dryer up. I would have been so angry.
I just am like, I felt like it was just brushed under the rug or whatever because feeling awkward that I was
But you know what the
everything.
Scam is, too, is that if you don't know what the dating app Raya is, Raya is supposed to be like a... Oh, this is so gross to say. It was supposed to be a celebrity entertainer dating app. It's supposed to be like you're in Hollywood, you popping. You have to like get a recommendation and then they have to approve you. Sometimes it takes months. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they deny people. It was supposed to be that. But then slowly it just became like...
DJs
and Equinox trainers and anybody.
I shouldn't say I don't know. I say poor people because that was my experience, but it's not their part. That's not their fault. I should just say unemployed at the time.
Temporarily financially challenged.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
At that moment in time.
That was just a state. Okay?
Yes.
Because I've been in the state of brokenness, and it's just
yes,
a state.
Yes, I have too. I think that's the trouble. It's like, I moved out here with an amount of, like, someone would have advised against it. I moved out here with, like, $1,200 and a Mercury Sable. It's like, I've lived that life. I've worked all the jobs. So it's not that I don't understand that the struggle is real. It is. And I'm so grateful to be able to make money as an entertainer. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like, I've been there. And I would have just been so grateful. Or just, thank you. That's all I need.
Yeah. And they should have given you a thank you. And not even in a, like, oh, I'm doing something nice for you. Just in a, like, I say thank you to people. Like,
yes.
I say thank you still. I say thank you all the time.
And it gives you the perspective, too, like, because you've lived it. Like, for example, I remember when I was also nannying, and they would say something like, hey, on your way, can you pick up this, this, and this at the grocery? And in my head, I'm going, I have $35 total. Right. What do you mean pick these things up? So because I've lived that and the stress and I didn't have a credit card at the time, I just have a better understanding when I'm operating with different types of people and don't assume that everybody's doing great
right
all the time, especially out here.
Especially out here, like especially in this economy where corporate greed is inflation in quotes. It's just them stealing from us. Where like price fixing is happening in the egg market. All the egg companies were like, let's get together and make eggs expensive. Y'all hear about that?
No.
That's what's happening right now. Price fixing is illegal. Eggs, count your motherfucking days. The chickens are about to roost, bitch. We're coming for you, okay? The incredible edible egg, watch your motherfucking ass. I got beef with eggs now. Scams! Cons! Let's move into our first segment here, What's Hot and Fraud. This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams on the streets. But more often than not, we get a letter from you all. As always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. All I need from you, Beth, is a fake name. We don't care about gender. Could be anything.
Gordon.
Gordon. Oh, I like Gordon. We haven't gotten a Gordon. I like the way that hits my ear. So Gordon says, good morning.
Good morning to you, Gordon.
You know what? It's morning somewhere right now for somebody. So good morning. Love the pod. It's my favorite part of my Tuesday work morning. Okay, so good morning to you, Gordon. Gordon was like, it's going to be morning for me when I hear this.
Yes.
So it's just for you, Gordon. So Gordon says, just wanted to share a scam that I haven't heard of before that happened to a friend of mine. So it says, a friend of mine got a call from the Greenville County Sheriff's Department, which is the name that came up as the missed call. They left a voice message and they gave her the number to call back, which was not the GCSD main number, which is the Greenville County Sheriff's Department number. So they called and the voicemail number corresponded with Greenville County Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. But the number that they said called back was a number that wasn't the Sheriff's Department.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you for saying that. Cause...
So they said, hit me back on my main. Hit me back on my two-way. It's the police, but hit me back on my WhatsApp. But it's still the police, though. And of course, since it was an officer that called her and said that she needed to speak with her, she called back. Now, I'm going to pause right here. If the police call me, I'm not calling back.
No.
What?
Why would I?
Why would I call the police back? Mm-mm. I barely want to pull over when they be like, wee woo, wee woo.
Yeah, about what? I have no business.
When
with
I say boop boop, I still wait. I'll be like, they're not talking to me.
When I'm in trouble, I don't call them and haven't.
No. I'm like, I'll figure it out.
Will one of them in my home make this better? I'm thinking
probably
no.
Probably not. The last time I called them, I was like, it was per instruction of my, I'm not going to say who, but I called them and when they showed up, they turned on me.
No.
Yes. They were like questioning me. And I'm like, I called you, Nick. I called you. And I was like, I am never calling them again. What is this?
Hate that.
What is this? I was like, and that's the life of being a black person. Like, why would I call the police? So I'm going to call my murderer? No.
Yo.
No, thank you. So I'm definitely not going to call them on the phone. For what?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
That sounds like something you just leave. I'd be like, I got a new number. New phone. Who dis? Police?
My phone's acting up.
So, naturally, of course, Gordon says she called him back. So, when she spoke to him, he verified her name, phone number, and address. So, she assumed he had to be legit. When he asked what it was, or when she asked what it was about, he said she missed jury duty. Then, he started to talk about how she needed to come in to be booked.
This is sounding porny.
Not porny. You missed your jury
You've
duty.
You've been very naughty. You need to come in and get booked.
Booked.
You've been a very naughty citizen.
C-U-M. Right. You were supposed to show up to do your duty. Oh, no. Yeah, that does sound like the premise to a bound to go wham, wham. So jury duty, though, is a good one because Emily told me, if y'all know this podcast, y'all know Emily is my admin. She told me she actually did jury duty. And if you've been to the live shows, you've seen Emily. Emily has the face of like an upstanding citizen. And she really is. She followed all the rules and all the laws and whatnot. And I'm like, Emily, let's break some laws. She'd be like, no, thank you. And she just has the face of like somebody who would be a good juror. So I remember we were working on some stuff and she told me that she was up for jury selection. And I was like, ah, fuck. because I knew she was going to get chosen. She has the face of a jury, like, member. And so, of course, she gets chosen for this case, this trial or whatever. And it didn't go on too long. I think it was like 2 weeks. But she told me afterwards, the judge said, if you haven't gone to jury duty, that this past July in L.A., they're going to start coming down harder on people who are avoiding jury duty.
What?
So I've gotten some summons. Mm-hmm. And as a Black person, I really... And Black people out there, if you listen to this podcast... Don't avoid jury duty, because as Black people, I'm so sorry. Y'all know we got to go to jury duty because the juries do not be juries of your peers. Black people, we got to go to jury duty because we got to free our people, because, you know, certain white people, not all, y'all. I said not all, okay? Don't turn the podcast off, y'all, okay? I said not all white people. Y'all are the good ones if you're listening to this. You're the good ones.
But we don't know that.
Some might be listening. Like, we gotta keep tabs on that, Negro.
I was gonna say
some of y'all might be the ops, but like they want to be cops, so they go in there and they be like, we gotta put that Negro in jail. You know, they're like, we don't need to hear the evidence. We're voting guilty, right? Let's get to lunch. Like, so if we don't go to jury duty, then our people don't get fair trials. So we have to do it. And I had to avoid 2 jury summons because I was working. So I can't, like, in a shooting schedule be like, hey, y'all, I know I'm under contract, but I got to go sit on this,
right. A lot this of chiropractor malpractice trial. Your schedule.
Yeah. Like, I can't do that. Like, they won't let me. So I had to, like, just be like, I didn't see it. But now they're coming harder in L.A., like, if you don't go to your summons. So I should have did during the
PSA. Track.
Yeah, PSA. So this kind of intrigues me a little bit. Right. Because I've seen ones where the cop calls and they're like, oh, you stole this or you have a stolen car or something like that, and they'll ransom money. But I haven't seen one about jury duty yet. But this is something that they're cracking down on in certain states.
So they're taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Or the scammer is.
So let's see. It says, she was out of town and, of course, freaking out. So he told her instead she could just pay the fine over the phone.
No.
And the matter would be resolved, which, of course, she said yes.
Mm, damn. No. I feel bad, but I don't know. I'm not in her shoes, but I'm disappointed in her, honestly.
I am. Because when did the police... When...
They have enough money. They did a fair and a barbecue, and they probably stole a bunch and
they
stole
drive
drugs.
In Beamers. They steal from drug dealers. They get, like, all of our city budget.
I know.
They're doing great.
They're fine.
So she would have paid, too, if the officer hadn't requested she pay via Cash App.
No. Okay, so maybe she caught on.
She caught on.
Thank goodness.
At this point, she knew it was a scam, and she hung up. Just wanted the congregation to be aware so no one makes the mistake of cash-apping what they think is their local sheriff's department. Yes, the police may be corrupt, but they ain't on Cash App yet.
Thank you, Gordon.
It said Cash App, Greenville County Sheriff's Department at Cash App. $.
Sheriff spelled with one F.
And the E is actually a 3. Don't forget that. It's integral. What?
Oh, otherwise, it's going to my partner.
Gordon, I'm glad that you at least, your friend at least caught on.
Thank goodness.
When they said Cash App. I hope no one's falling for this, because Cash App is the app of crime. Why would the police department? Also, like, this would be handled through the court, and it would be handled through snail mail.
Yes. All of that.
Yeah.
Even our medical stuff that they're trying to get you for is through mail, which is hard for me to want to pay, because I'm just like, is this real?
Right.
If you get a random bill in the mail from some medicine place.
I always wonder.
What am I talking about?
You're spot on. Because, like, you know what I wonder about? How much does it cost to get those colored ink cartridges? Because you know when the medical girls really start threatening you and they be like, pass, dude.
Yes.
It's always in red ink.
Yes.
Because it's like they're yelling at you through the mail.
Yes.
They're like, how can we make this as menacing as possible? They're not paying the bill. Y'all, get that red ink out. Get that red ink and say, pass, dude. They're like, give us the money. But it's, like, in the mail.
It is. Also, it's printed. It's definitely not one of those. They've made it look like a stamp sometimes.
Right. But it is printed.
Yes.
I want to know who came up with that. They were like, we've sent them, like, 10 letters. You know what? Get the red ink out.
that was always fascinating to me the first, because I now that we're talking about this, I do remember really being fascinated with Publishers Clearing House as a kid, sending away for that. And the first time you saw like a signature that wasn't actually someone's signature, it was just printed. And I remember the time I saw that, like, blew my mind. It's like, how could they possibly sign all of these?
Right. You know what's wild? Donald Trump took a note out of the Publishers Clearing House playbook when he stopped the rollout of the stimulus checks because he wanted all of them to be signed by him.
Stop.
He wanted them to have his signature on them.
Oh my God.
And it actually worked in marketing. People were like, oh, Donald Trump signed this check.
I bet he believed, like, if he signed it, people wouldn't cash it because they just wanted to have his signature.
So. No, he wanted people to think that he gave them the money. Oh, and some people really were like, damn, Donald Trump gave us some money.
I hate him.
Oh, I hate him so much. He's really so goofy. He really should have went into comedy.
Yeah, he tried.
We can't even make fun of him because he's, like, he does the jokes already. Like,
I know.
There's nothing fun left.
Even his roast was not fun because it's like, this guy's...
He sucks. Like, what is to make fun of? Roasts are only funny if, like...
Right.
There's nothing.
No.
Damn. Well, on that note, I want to highlight it.
Sorry. Sorry.
Robbery and fraud. On that note, we're moving into my favorite segment here, Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I regale Beth with a famous con or caper, group of criminals. We'll see. And we'll get your opinions all throughout.
Okay.
Because we don't scam our journalists, we're going to note up top here that the story is primarily reported by the New York Times' John Carreyrou and his article, The Strange $55 Million Saga of a Netflix Series You'll Never See. Mm. And speaking of Netflix... Best-selling. If you didn't want me then, on Netflix right now.
Please watch.
Stream that. Stream that, scam. Honey. It's good. Not a scam.
It's on there.
Very much streamable. Very much watchable. Put it in your eyeballs.
Thank you.
And have a good laugh. Have a good time. And watch it. Don't put it on when you try to have some sex, okay? Because then you're going to be laughing. You're going to be laughing. Why are you trying to get your freak on? I'm just saying. Beth is funny, okay? That could be awkward. You start laughing while you're trying to have your little freak. Okay? I feel like that's the only weird time to laugh.
I would be honored, honestly, if you had sex to my special.
If they're having sex and they just have to stop. It's like, hold on. This is wait.
No, this is good.
Hold on. Get off me. Turn it up. That's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you. All right, so in 2018, Carl Eric Rentz was being courted by several streaming services for his sci-fi series. However, Netflix would end up paying more than $50 million for a show that would never exist.
Wow.
Look at this man.
Whoa. Is that him at South by Southwest?
I don't know exactly.
It doesn't
where he
look
is
like
this
it.
Photo.
I don't know.
But it kind of does.
Eric, right?
But yes, Eric Rentz. And it's so
55
funny.
55 million.
And he's got that sci-fi series look. It's giving like if George R. R. Martin had like a BBL or something. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, like
if he had a makeover by Queer Eye.
He's not terrible looking. It does look like, yeah, if you maybe he... Yeah.
But he's
got to
be grungy. Like, I feel like everybody who writes the sci-fi or the sagas and stuff, like, they're never, like, sassy. Like, they got to look like they be in a basement a lot and, like, hairy.
I feel like if there was a spectrum, there is, like, a buff Jimmy Neutron on one end and then maybe because this guy or a schlub on the other end of the spectrum.
Who is sexy who wrote a saga? Or, like, who's, like,
I'm just, yes. I mean, I'm trying to think of an example. I guess... Of like a, I was thinking more like a lay person who's like, I wrote this fanfic about, but it, and it's like a guy who is a gym rat, but his eyebrows are off.
See, but I mean like who did like a Lord of the Rings?
Okay, yeah.
Or a, you know,
something like,
Game of Thrones.
What do those people look like?
Or they look like him.
Okay. But you, I'm not saying I'm attracted to that man, but I will just say, this photo is kind of making him look like a hunk. A little. Like, he doesn't, like, he looks schlubby and for sure, like, his hair wasn't washed. I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but I'm saying he's, like, the hot one of these types.
His suit is a bit crinkled. It's probably damp.
Yeah, it looked like he'd been up there for a while. The lights look hot.
$50 million.
Yeah. And you know he's got, like, groupies. Like, the girls are lining up behind the stage trying to, like,
I guess they're
get the lore.
I guess there is a...
What that lore do, okay? Trying to get a cannon, okay?
I guess there is that understanding that when you sell a show, you're supposed to write it.
Yeah.
I mean, but if people, like, what do you give it back if you didn't finish it? I mean, what person has never finished
it? Well, I mean, the thing is, though, is not necessarily, because, like, if he did, like, the sci-fi, well, if he did a sci-fi book, let's see what he did. Because I don't know what he did. Because, like, sometimes they'll sell the book and then somebody else will write the series based off the books. That's what happened with Game of Thrones. And then when George R.R. said he stopped writing the books, the show kind of went. So, anyways. So, Carl. Carl started his career as a young filmmaker in San Fernando Valley. Mm-hmm. Oh, in San Fernando Valley. That. Isn't that where they do the other films?
I think that's not far from us.
Yeah. Isn't that where they do the naked films? Is San Fernando Valley?
Naked?
I thought this is where they make the porns.
The corns.
Yeah. That's what we call it.
I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm. San Fernando Valley.
Glad I came today.
You learned so much already. So much useful information.
It is.
So as a teenager, he rented camera equipment and shot short films. It sounds like he's making porn, but I'm not going to assume. So he attended Brown University.
Oh, wow.
Artistic. And before returning to Los Angeles, where he apprenticed under Ridley Scott, and he made commercials with his production company. Carl had a reputation of telling stories about his childhood, such as claiming that he grew up in Africa and that his father was a spy.
It's the way you said it.
Listen, okay. Elon Musk is an African American.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I feel like the part he's leaving out is that his dad, yeah, he grew up there because his dad was a missionary, like, ruining people's lives.
Oh, God. I mean, honestly, he is a white man, so his dad being a spy in Africa kind of tracks to me because y'all not supposed to be over there.
Yeah.
I don't know, tracks. So... Once while living at the Huntley Hotel in Santa Monica, he also requested that staff cover his room entirely in white sheets.
What? Like, gift wrap the desk in a white sheet?
I mean, eccentric.
For why? Do we know why?
I don't know. And also, like...
Living at a hotel, to me, is a red flag.
It is. I used to work at a sushi restaurant out here that is now defunct,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a high-end sushi restaurant in a cursed place. There's this place that it used to be Hamburger Mary's.
Mm-hmm. I know the area.
You know where, I don't know why this was in the OJ documentary. You know the one that they did with, it was like where they talked about Robert Kardashian and they mm-hmm. talked about like the kind of like the OJ curse or whatever. And, why is this happening? Johnny Cochran and all of them or whatever. For some reason, they have like a part in it where I guess they were showing that the Kardashians just started being famous because of the trial. And they go to Hamburger Mary's or whatever.
Okay. I didn't see this.
It's the same place. And they say that building is cursed. So after Hamburger Mary's, it became a bunch of different restaurants. And eventually it became Roku. And that's where I worked.
Okay.
And it was cursed. It didn't end up failing. But when it opened, it was like all these celebrities, like all these people. And there was this one guy who would always come in and he lived in a hotel and he was very rich. I guess he was like a billionaire or something. I don't know. But he lived in a hotel and he was really weird. And he would always bring in a different woman every Tuesday night. And I always got him. And they would give me a soignée, which is basically... it's like a little chit that they give you that gives you all of their information and their likes and how they want their table set.
This is fancy fine dining, which I didn't really work in. Okay.
And like what they like to drink, what they want on the table, what everything. And he had like very specific requests for the women that he would bring and like what they could eat, what he wouldn't allow them to order. Like it was super weird. And it would be a new woman every time. And I had to act like I like was familiar with the woman and didn't know.
Did you maintain like a level of I guess, sort of like a wall? Or did you get friendly with him? You know, like a regular...
I had to be friendly with him and then also act like whoever the woman was, like, I had never seen any other woman but that woman.
Yeah. Yeah, never the words, nice to see you again.
No, I had to act like that was, like that woman was the first woman he had ever come with.
You start laying it on thick. You're usually here alone. Who's this?
You are so lonely. Oh my God, a woman?
I'm so glad you finally found someone.
She must be so special. You are that girl. Oh my goodness. This is a beautiful thing. Y'all gonna get married? He's like, too much, too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here. Scram. But he lives in a hotel and was very weird.
Yeah. Mm. It's a red flag.
Yeah. So while living there, he wanted all white sheets. Also, like, you got to have, he must have amassed some money at this point because this is a weird request and mm-hmm. they did it. So Carl's real career began to take off in 2010 when a short film he made for an electronics company, Philips, won awards at Cannes International Advertising Festival.
Cannes.
Is it Cannes or Cannes? It's Cannes, France. I'm right. Look at me. Cultured. So I didn't even know Cannes had an advertising version.
Me neither. So they said it was for Philips. Like.
Yeah, it was for Philips. I didn't even know you could go to Cannes for
does he not look extremely different there?
He looks the same.
Okay.
Why does he dress like he's like...
He looks... Gulliver's Travels or something.
Yeah. It's given, like...
It's a throwback to a different era.
Like, to, like, the era where there was outdoor plumbing.
And I'm also looking at what we saw before was the hair wisps, and I thought there was a ponytail, but I don't know where it is.
Okay, here it's given, like, I guess, like, a suit or something, but in the other photo, Judith, that you just pulled up where he's shooting the commercial, this is given Les Mis. Like, what era is this?
Right.
Okay. So he got popping when he won that in Cannes. So, and this is in 2010. So with awards came talk that Carl was set to direct a prequel to Alien.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. However, Universal scooped him up first to direct 47 Ronin, a big budget action feature film starring Keanu Reeves, our king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, praise 47 Keanu. Ronin. And I love...
Never heard of it, have you?
No.
No.
And I love Keanu. What is this? And it looks like there's aliens and there's a gun and there's fire on the water.
And I'm seeing some boobies.
Yeah, there's some boobies.
Pretty full.
Yeah. And
hefty.
I mean,
nice.
there's a lady with the boobies.
Yes.
Y'all.
And they look great.
She's pretty. And then there's another alien little guy with a...
That the skull is that, thing is giving...
Is
I guess,
he a soldier? A dead soldier?
I don't know.
Y'all, we'll post this on Instagram because I don't... This poster tells me nothing.
Seems fake.
Keanu maybe is dating a lady.
She looks like nefarious. That look is not like...
She doing him dirty.
I think so.
Or maybe he fighting her too?
Maybe.
I couldn't tell. And maybe they're fighting on fire water.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of fire.
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't tell you what 47 Ronin is about.
I don't even know what a Ronin is.
The poster. Are there 47 of the Ronins?
Yeah. Or this is the address where you can find
the Ronins.
Scary ghost people.
And it came out on Christmas Day.
Why?
A Christmas movie.
Something to watch with the whole fam.
Bring the kids.
Honey, bring the kids in. I'm starting 47 Ronin.
47 Ronin, okay? Put them chestnuts on the open fire. We're about to throw on some 47 Ronin, okay? Okay? Get on them magic pajamas.
The kids are like, why? She's like, it's your father's gift. I didn't give him anything.
He loves 47 Ronin. Y'all sit down. Open your stockings. It's time for 47 Ronin. So they scooped him up for this.
Because he directed it.
Yeah, he directed it. The production had problems. Well, the poster does, so that's not a shock. So the production had problems, and a producer, Scott Stuber, was removed from the editing room after arguing with Carl. When the film was released on December 25th, 2013, it tanked, and Universal had to write off a large portion of its $175 million budget.
How?
What?
I'm trying to get... freaking morsels for my work.
$175 million.
I'm blown away by that.
Of them things.
I'm blown away. This is 2013, was a different time.
To have fire water, alien, for some reason, the alien has a gun, but Keanu has a knife.
He has some sort of sword. What are those called? Katana.
Yeah, he has a katana, but
then there's like a buccaneer, the type of thing that like a Johnny Depp character in those pirates movies would have.
Or maybe he's not an alien. He's just a man with a lot of tattoos.
Anyway, he looks like he's a little bit.
Who is on the rowboat in the front? Now I'm seeing somebody on a pontoon.
Down there is a dock.
And then my guy. Oh, is that a dock?
I think.
Yes.
Going out into the water. Oh, ships are on fire.
Oh, ships are on fire on the water.
I was right with the Pirates of the Caribbean gun.
Okay, so this is just a tatted man who has a skull tatted on his face. So he is a man.
Okay.
But then we do have like a little like.
You get less more
maybe this is just not an alien, but it's just a guy who has on like a lot of armor that looks
like Bane almost or something. Who has a mask.
But, wow, this is terrible. I've never seen a movie poster that made me not want to see a movie more.
Yeah, I'm upset.
This actually makes me never want to see the movie.
I think
it's a warning. It's like, don't see this movie.
Yes, I agree.
Wow. So Carl went back to making commercials. Yeah, after you waste $107 million, you gotta pivot.
You're in commercial timeout.
They know you at Cannes for commercials. Gone on back to that. So White Horse. However, on the side, Carl and his wife, an Uruguayan model and fashion designer, Gabriela Rosas Bentancur, had another project up their sleeve. So this is Gabriela Rosas Bentancur. She is very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a project up their sleeves. Okay, what's the project, baddie? Together, they began working on a sci-fi television series about a genius who invents a human-like species called organic intelligence. The OI, not to be confused with AI.
Mm-mm.
That's artificial. We talk about organic intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Different ball.
You would think that's just humans. They said, we're going to invent a... We're going to invent humans.
It looks like us. It sounds like us.
But it's not us. Wow, that's deep. I feel like that's something you come up with you high.
And then pitch it for $55 million.
Pitch it for $50 million. Oh, man. I should have been doing more in 2013. What was I doing? College?
Not believing in myself.
Right. What was we doing? We should have been high out here being like, what if we... Hear me out. Walk with me. We make a show about making people, but they not people, and this is why.
Why? Because I'm this $175 million is burning a hole in my pocket. So tell me why.
They not people because we made them.
Are you an S Corp? Because I'd love to write this check.
I can become one. Hold on.
I can make it out to you personally as
okay,
well.
Okay, great. Let's get started. I make great commercials, so you're going to love this. You're going to love this shit. So the OI, the Organic Intelligent, are deployed to troubled spots around the globe to provide humanitarian aid. But humans eventually discover their true nature and turn against them. Mm. Carl initially called the show White Horse in reference to the first horseman of the apocalypse.
Mm.
So it's got references. We got depth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the beginning, he self-financed the production and primarily hired European cast and crew to cut costs and avoid Hollywood union rules.
Wow.
Because they like
cut costs.
Yeah. If you like are in Europe, and you work on an American television show, they don't have to pay you SAG scale.
You're kidding. I didn't know that.
Nope.
Wow.
To this day.
Wow.
To this day. I promise.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. I know people who are on popping shows, Emmy shows, who are not in SAG. And because they shot in their country, they getting paid pennies while the Americans are getting paid scale. Unions, baby.
For shame.
So in the beginning, he self-financed the production and primarily hired, you know, the European cast. And so we got an image of Gabriella at the monitor during filming. Look at her right there. She really a filmmaker. She got her coat on because it's cold.
I feel like that coat, if you told us the price tag was $779.
It's giving Montclair.
Yeah.
It's giving. That's a nice coat.
It's not a budget-cutting coat.
That coat costs more than they paying them Europeans.
Yes.
That's their whole that's their whole salary right there. Okay. And then the next image right here, we got them shooting the white horse. Okay, they look and look at this. This is some production value.
All right. I'm seeing the dolly.
So as a result, the shoot schedule was grueling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're self-financing it. They're cutting costs. They're not paying the actors anything. So they're shooting, you know, guerrilla style. And they're not really doing union rules. So they probably like, 24 hours? We shoot all day and night? Yeah? That work for y'all?
I'm just happy to be here.
Right. I'm just happy to get an opportunity. Listen, I've been on some things that were definitely illegal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've also done things for friends where you reach hour 11 and you're like, I don't think we're friends anymore. This is not a friendly thing to do to me.
I've done some things that were union that were definitely breaking the law.
Yeah.
20 hours and then we drove home.
Oh, no.
With the windows down and the music blasting.
Yeah, just like.
They were like, we can get you a hotel. We were like, where? Where? We on an island. I can't say too much. So, so during one shoot in Kenya, Carl insisted on filming for 24 hours straight. Damn.
You were right.
If you know this podcast, you know I do not read these ahead of time. I will do pitches, but I like to be surprised along with my guests. But yes, the 24 hours. Let's shoot for the whole day. All day, all night. What y'all think? Carl, are you on amphetamines?
Yes.
You gotta be on drugs.
He has to be.
It's giving cocaina. It's giving Adderall. It's giving Vans. Okay? You putting something in your nose. Because how? How? So during another in Romania, the lead actress caught hypothermia during a scene bare-legged in the snow and had to be rushed to a hospital. And this is the thing. I've gone to the hospital and says, they will let you die. You have to speak up. They will let you die, okay? So eventually, Carl needed more money. And so he secured an investment from 30 West, a production company backed by the billionaire entrepreneur Dan Friedkin. Keanu Reeves ended up having to bail Carl out when he missed a deadline and 30 West threatened to take possession of the project. So now Keanu coming in like a king.
Stop.
Because 30 West was like, we're going to need you to like...
pay us back?
Yeah, pay us back. So you need to like finish the project and put it out and run us our money. And so Keanu comes in like the sweet king he is and bails Carl out.
Oh my, do we know how much that was?
Because the two had become friends while shooting Ronin. And Keanu came on as an investor and producer next to Gabriella.
After Ronin, he's thinking, I want to stay friends?
I mean, it wasn't Carl's fault that Ronin was ass.
All right. You're right. I guess he was just directing.
He was just directing. Like, right. It seems like there was a lot more problems. Like whoever made that poster.
We later found out that it was Carl.
So the like so with the help of Mr. Reeves, Carl finished the 6 episodes, each 4 to 10 minutes in length. I know you fucking lie.
What?
4 to 10 minutes in length. You got actresses
it's, dying. 4 to 10 is not a thing. It's either 5 to 7 or
now
1 to 4.
Is this for Quibi? Quibi.
This could have been what
didn't
year?
Exist yet. This is 2013. Who? Where
shit.
Are we watching 4 minutes of television? Also, you said 4 to 10. So some are 4, some are 10.
Put them all together and give me 30.
Just
or 21.
Right.
Whatever.
Just give me a short film, baby, because what is a 4-minute episode? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with that? So he then used those episodes to pitch streaming companies on a 13-episode series. Or like 120-minute first season.
Okay.
Similar to projects like Quibi at the time. Oh, wait, so Quibi was around in 2013?
Dang. Doesn't it seem like what a year more recent in? Memory?
Yeah, that's not accurate. It is more recent than
okay.
that.
Okay. I was gonna say I remember.
Because in 2013 Quibi happening. I was like I was a child. Like yeah. it's not no,
I'm
can't
feeling
be right.
like Quibi was like Yes.
Yeah.
I was just about to say 18. Yeah. And then it was also died in 2018 as well.
Yeah. Judith pulled up. Yeah. Quibi was founded in 2018 and then died
moments later.
Oh, okay. It's more of a reference of like what we were saying, like the yes, Allah
I
Quibi.
See. Yeah. You were ahead of it again.
Because I was about to say like 2018 or 2013. Nuh-uh. It came in 2018 and it died very, very shortly. Very, very shortly after.
Okay. Time of death, 15 minutes later.
Right. And the birth certificate in the yeah, it was very close. So platforms from HBO to Amazon were interested, but Netflix ended up swiping the project at the last minute from Amazon, convinced it had the potential to be as successful as Stranger Things.
Whoa.
Mm. Netflix agreed to pay Carl's production company $61.2 million in several installments for the rights to the series renamed Conquest.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look at that. And now they got some drip. We got a helmet with a little booty in the back. It's a helmet, but it got ass.
It's a helmet that you can go like this in and have room for your shoulders. And
like,
I shrugged.
Why do you need a helmet with like a back seat?
I don't know.
A helmet with a trunk. Why do we need this?
I don't know.
But you know what? It's giving future. It's giving it aerodynamic. And then they're wearing like, y'all see on the Instagram, but they're wearing a futuristic kind of like, it's a turtleneck, sleeveless uniform.
I want to say tunic so bad.
It's like Star Trek Enterprise, but make it
medieval almost.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and my eyes are
but
bad.
Make it neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying medieval because it looks a little dirty.
I don't know, but it's giving future. Yes. It's giving me the future. Okay?
It is.
Minimal. Clean girl. I don't know what they're trying to do. So it's called Conquest. So as a part of the deal, Netflix gave Carl the final cut, an unusual privilege, not often earned by directors. They also agreed to lock in Carl and Gabriella for life.
What is happening?
To all the following seasons and spinoffs.
I feel like we have Carl to blame for our futures falling apart.
Carl got the riz, bro.
He fumbled the bag.
He got and the now riz.
And now we're all just picking up the crumbs.
AMPTP is taking it out on us for Carl.
Yeah.
They said, we hate you, creatives. They said, you all suck.
Yeah, well, we gave him $55 million and he did bad. It's like, well, not us. That's on you.
That's why they tried to replace us with AI. They said, we tried OI. We tried organic intelligence.
We're over it.
It didn't work.
And we lost nearly all our money. We're just kidding. We have so much
money. We gave it to one guy. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. We gave all our money to one guy. But still, it's all your fault. You're all as bad as him.
Oh, my gosh.
So at the same time, Carl was still in conflict with 30 West and several other early investors, and no one had consulted anyone about his conflict with the 47 Ronin producer. Hmm. So additionally, the series didn't have a complete script. These are minor problems, okay? Yeah, 30 West is invested and we ain't paid them back. Okay, yeah, there's a little bit of conflict with 47 Ronin producer. Yeah, we ain't really wrote a script, but you know, you don't really... These are minor details when you're making a television show. Yeah, legally, I'm not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we don't have, like, anything to say for the actors. But we got a helmet with a booty in the back.
But did you see how beautiful this photo is?
Right. The helmets have ass. Like, let's be serious.
None of these girls are going to get hypothermia, I promise you.
Right. We got a budget now. Despite the red flags, the international project began filming in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and then in Montevideo, Uruguay, and in Budapest. Now they're going all over. No script. Barely a script, barely vibes.
When we get there, we'll riff. My goodness, have you seen that place? It's beautiful. We'll come up with something.
I feel like in sci-fi,
you gotta prep.
Yeah, I don't think you can riff in this
space. No, you have to have consistency.
I feel like this is one of the few spaces that you really can't riff.
No.
Also, that's like one of those
things. You tell all these extras just BYO costume.
Also, that's one of... Right. Because you can't BYO... No. You can't self-report sci-fi costumes. Mm-mm. I don't have a booty helmet at home.
No.
Like, I can't look futuristic with my wardrobe. Like, you have to bring that. And, like, there's always this trope that I see. And as an actor and someone who also writes, it's so funny to me, like, when I see other actors do interviews and they'll be like, oh yeah, we do a lot of improv, or like we made that up or whatever. And I laugh to myself sometimes, because as someone who has a lot of writer friends and has like entered the writing space, it's like, did you improv that? Be honest. Like, because I've been sitting next to people at Junkies and they'd be like, yeah, we do tons of improv. I'm like, no, you don't. No. Sometimes I do, but I don't even take credit for it, because it's like, I wouldn't have been able to do that joke if there wasn't a joke on the page that I could
jump off,
level up from, yeah. Right? So it's like, when people, actors love to be like, yeah, we do tons of improv, but it's like, do you? And so,
really.
And like, and I'm not going to take away, because I've worked with a lot of actors who really do like fly off the handle, and I fly off the handle too when I'm given the opportunity. There's certain shows that I'm on where the script supervisor will be like, it says and you right. said...
You said and.
Or it says with, and you said together. Like, I'm trying to think of something that is so innocuous, but like they will be like, that's not what we put. And I'll be like, okay. But then other ones, I've gone on sets where I flew, when I was finishing The Outlaws, they flew me out, and I got there, and I went into my trailer. I had to go straight from the airport, and I got in there, and I opened my sides. I had no lines. And I was like, bro, we moved schedules around for this. And I like texted one of my producers. I was like, we moved the schedules around for this, because I was still shooting iCarly. And they're like, yeah, we just want you to go off. I was like, what? And so then I went to set, and they're like, yeah, we're going to put a camera on you and just go off. And I remember when I saw the movie, like they let me screen it on Netflix before we did the premiere. And I have the last line in the movie, and it was improv. And I screamed. And then I cried.
It's
and then
amazing.
I texted him, and I was like, what the fuck? So that, like, so stuff like that does happen, but sometimes, but like, this ain't gonna be that.
No.
Sci-fi movie?
No. Everybody has to be on the same page, and in a sci-fi movie, there's like 1,300 people.
Also, it's supposed to be like complicated stuff, like we're going to quadrant four. Like, you go ahead, actors just be like, we gotta get the shooting floggers into the space and moppers.
Spindle. I don't know. That wasn't helpful.
Yeah, no. This is not a good idea. So in Sao Paulo, Carl received complaints that he mistreated the team, including shouting and cursing at them. Huh. He's probably like, make up better lines.
We need a script, motherfuckers.
Do the script.
Yelling at the extras to write a script.
Right. This isn't good. So it's probably why you're yelling at him. He's like, hold on, I'm trying to do the script real quick. So in Budapest, he went days without sleep. How you doing that? And accused his wife of plotting to have him assassinated.
Okay, this is giving cocaine again.
Yeah, we've lost the plot. So after filming wrapped in late 2019, Gabriella hired a professional to try to convince Carl to enter rehab.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
After several friends and family staged an intervention. So they staged an intervention, and they were like, all right, Carl, baby, it's time.
They're like, where's the $50 million? He's like, in my nose.
It might be. Maybe that's why they ran out of money when they were shooting them 4 to 10 minute things.
He's like, if we're shooting 24 hours straight, everybody on set needs cocaine. And you know that.
You know that. We predicted that very early, because it was like, how are you staying awake? And also, that's probably why they ran out of money. Like, Carl. So, however, Carl maintained that he was sober and mentally well. Baby. Okay. So, in the beginning of 2020, COVID was fast approaching, and Carl had asked Netflix to send him more money to finish production. They had already spent $44.3 million on Conquest, and with Carl missing several milestones and being undecided on two versions of the script. Okay, so he got a script.
At least we have a script.
And we got two versions. We had no versions before.
Let's shoot it both ways. We need more money.
We need more money. Netflix was hesitant. Now you're hesitant, Netflix. Okay. But after claiming the entire production was at the risk of collapse, Netflix eventually wired $11 million and gave Carl permission to begin working on the longer version of the script that would go into another season. So I want to say this. We talk about this a lot. It's just a thing in economics, and this is a thing in scams that we should always remember. Once a cost is sunk, once you put money into something, it is a sunk cost. There's no point in throwing good money after bad. Once you have lost money, consider it a loss. You are not going to recoup more money by throwing more money at it. You are just going to lose more money.
They should have called you.
Walk away. Cut your losses.
Say, we'll take what you have.
Right. They should have been like, send over what you got.
Somebody was not watching the dailies.
Yeah. It doesn't. And you know what they gave him? Remember, they gave him Final Cut. This is way too much trust. What? Because he had long hair and a ponytail and he was a white man?
Exactly. These are the times where they're like, oh, whose dick did you suck over there? It's like, whose dick did he suck over there? What's happening?
He had a failed $175 million movie that he directed and an award for a commercial at Commercial Con.
I bombed once at Hilarities in Cleveland and I'm not invited back.
But he sank. He directed it.
I'm baffled.
They really
My bomb was in
up.
Like 2011, okay? It's been years.
And I want to put this out there. Napoleon was a $200 million movie.
I thought we were going historical there, but now we're, yes, both. I know where we're going.
I'm going all the way back to Napoleon. Facts. No, Napoleon the movie with Joaquin Phoenix was a $200 million movie.
Wow.
I think it's made $22 million.
Wow.
And nobody's talking about that.
What? I guess.
But they, and I need more people to talk about it.
Being a comic mostly and not in this world as much as in directing or financing, producing, I'm just like, $200 million? Is that normal?
I'm like, is this money laundering? What's going
I'm
on?
Confused.
It's because it's starting to give money laundering.
$50 million went to COVID supervisors.
Right.
Tell you to put your mask down.
Bro, that COVID supervision job, I wish I had gotten involved in that because the COVID supervisors on some of my sets, I was like, bro, did y'all just take an online quiz and then they just let you come in here and just act a fool? Because I had some people, like, I remember one set, we had this guy and he put up on his podium COVID police, which made me uncomfortable.
Don't like it.
Do you mean police? Take the shit down. And one time I remember he started coming in, he would just like, sometimes he would bring us like lasagna and shit. So like, I'm not eating your house food, bro. Aren't you the COVID?
We're not supposed to be eating on set.
Eating on set. And I definitely am not eating your house food. I don't eat house food. And I remember one time he started coming in with different hand sanitizer. He was like, oh, we have some new flavors. He was like, this one's like berry. And this one's like, I'm not even joking. He was like, this is cucumber. I'm like, are these above 70%? Because just give it back to Body Works, my guy.
He's like, I made him at home. Try my lasagna-scented hand sanitizer.
They just let anybody do this made-up job, bro. How much will they pay?
I know. Some of them took it very seriously, which I do want to respect.
Oh, I've been on some sets where it was very serious.
But I liked it when they turned the other cheek so I could house a banana and a granola bar in my chair. Just let me shove this in my mouth.
Right. Some sets, they were very, very serious. But, you know, it varied. Some
we
sense,
made it.
It was just a guy.
We made it out.
But so they sent him $11 million. Carl transferred $10.5 million of the $11 million to his personal brokerage account at Charles Schwab.
Oh, my God.
And using options, placed risky bets on the stock market.
Stop. This, I could never.
Now, my question is, how? Why? is he in jail? When you shoot, okay. So how you win you? And why you win, you how you, and how you win, you why. I thought, you don't win.
I haven't even put money I rightfully earned in the stock market.
Let alone, we have a business.
This is baffling.
I just thought when you did a production that if they give you a budget, you can't just put that budget in your
wallet.
In your wallet.
See, it's actually my portfolio, bitches.
I didn't know you could do that. I thought you had
to. He's like, Ted Sarandos, you didn't say I had to use it for my movie.
I just said I needed $44 million. I didn't say I was going to use it
for
the movie. I just said, send me $44 million.
I thought we were friends.
What you mean?
We were friends.
I actually never said for what. I thought you had to invoice or like send it to the person or like, what is it for? Oh, is it for cameras? Is it for like payroll? Is it for overtime? I thought they would be directly invoicing. Why is it just they just sent him the money? Mm.
So
they transferred this money directly to him. And he put it in his personal brokerage account. And then he just got on the stock market and was like, run it up. Put it on black.
Wow. Did he lose it all?
So one of his bets was on shares of the biotech firm Gilead Sciences, which had just announced it was testing a COVID antiviral drug. Now, remember, COVID was popping. So
that's true.
This might have been a good bet.
The Gilead is giving, what are the?
Oh, Handmaid's Tale.
Thank you.
Low key. And I'm kind of like, maybe he was onto something. He had a hot tip?
I know.
I don't know.
He's like 10 million on masks.
Right. Ooh, I wish I had gotten a big mask.
I know, me too.
And big glove.
Would have been smart.
Big smock even. Smocks had a moment. And I remember being on set and that everybody was dressed like they was an extra in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it happened for a little while. And then they realized, like, why do we have these people changing these smocks? Because I feel like gloves and masks, like, that felt necessary. And obviously masks really work. And they stayed around the longest.
Yeah.
But smocks, I feel like, were the scammer of all the PPE. Because smocks were like, us too. Y'all need a smock.
You don't want to cough that dirty sickness on your own shirt.
Yeah, because then it's on your shirt. Then, like, it's going to get on your mouth later when you get home. Like, you need a smock. I remember my makeup artists used to have to wear smocks, and then they would have to change their smocks in between actors. And
no.
I was like, what? And I feel like that was just Big Smock being like, nah, y'all need smocks.
Yeah,
like,
need smocks.
Y'all also need foot booties. Yeah, everybody need a booty on their foot. I want big hospital socks to get into. Y'all need these socks with the little white things on the bottom. Everybody needs socks because COVID gonna get on y'all feet. I want the hairnet people to get it. Y'all gonna want COVID in your follicles now.
It's not gonna look good without a hairnet.
Everyone just trying to get it. Like, masks can't have all the fun. We want some. So, he also wagered on the S&P 500 index, which had already declined more than 30% and would fall further.
Okay.
So, that wasn't a good bet. Carl lost $5.9 million in a matter of weeks.
Dude.
Around the same time, executives at Netflix began receiving emails from Carl, in which he claimed to have found a way to map the coronavirus signal emanating within the earth. So, Netflix began receiving emails.
Don't you want to know who?
I do.
Is it just one person in development that's like, I don't know, man. I got to keep this our secret. If they find out what I've done,
like,
how much I've
wired. We greenlit this. And now he is sending me emails saying that he knows where COVID is coming out of the earth's core. We gave him $50 million.
Oh, my God.
We're going to lose our jobs, man. Because now this is on whoever greenlit this too, because this is a director and the writer. And he is now sending you conspiracy emails. This has nothing to do with production.
I get some of those, but
he's like, these are not the dailies. This is not, oh, hey, Carl, how's it going with production? How's the shoot schedule? Are we on schedule? Like, how's everything going? No, this is conspiracy. He's sending you shit that he should be posting on Facebook. This is shit your uncle should be DMing you on Facebook. This is shit that your mama sends you links to on Instagram DM or in the family group chat. This is not shit you send to a Netflix executive.
No.
This is wild. So
Executives grew so concerned that they consulted with the LAPD Threat Management Unit, which concluded that Carl didn't seem like a threat. So now they call
him.
So y'all calling the police on Carl? Doesn't he still work for you?
Wow. I can't believe they called the police on Carl. And then, of course, the police were like, I don't know. He seems pretty
good. He seems cool. Good. He gave us $1 million. Charles Schwab.
He said, go have fun. Bet on black.
Bet on black. So we're wrapping up here. But it was enough, right? This is enough. Once you call the police on the person that you gave $50 million to, I feel like we got to wrap this up. On March 18th, 2021, Netflix emailed Carl to say they no longer saw a way forward with the production. And he had decided to stop funding Conquest. He was free to take the show elsewhere, but whoever acquired it would have to reimburse Netflix for what it had spent.
Damn. Mm.
The problem was, Carl had begun using the rest of the most recent money to invest in Dogecoin.
Stop. That is the problem. That's the third of many problems. I love how even Netflix was like, you know what? It seems like it's not working out. I would have emailed, get away from us and stay away from us.
Leave us alone.
And pay us our money back.
Get a job.
I cannot believe this.
They walked away with a 50. You know how crazy you got to be for Netflix to be like, hey, just don't ever come back to the, your badge doesn't work anymore. Take the 50 mil. Just don't call us anymore. Don't send us any emails. And we're good. And we're fine.
Everything's good. Thanks for the info on the Earth's core.
We still like you a lot. We think you're a super great guy.
We believe in conquest.
Yeah.
We want you to sell it.
Yeah. But just whoever you sell it to, just like if we could get our 50 mil back, that would be tight.
Let them know there's a tab.
That's all. Just a little tab. But, you know, go with God. So he's still got money in Dogecoin, right? Uh-huh. So while he made out with nearly $27 million when he liquidated his Dogecoin, he immediately put his money not back into the production, but on a spending spree.
No. Mm. What did he get?
Carl bought 5 Rolls Royces, a Ferrari, a $387,600 Vacheron Constantin watch.
Okay.
Am I saying that right?
Who cares?
I don't own $400,000 watches, so I was like, Vacheron. A Vacheron Constantin watch for about $400,000, excuse me. And millions of dollars worth of high-end furniture and designer clothing, totaling $8.7 million.
Wow.
I mean, he knows what to buy. I don't even know where to get a $387,000 watch.
In supermarket,
I don't know
sweep,
where to find that.
He's running for the hams.
Oh, yeah. He's running for the hams. He's running for the cheeses, the wheel cheeses, the dog food. You know he's going to get a lot of the Benadryls, as many as you can get. He's going to get all the door prizes. He's picking up all the big plastic ones, throwing them up in the front first, running back.
Why didn't they say, give us that money back right away? They just were like, yeah, it's all good, but just let us know if you sell it.
Yeah, if you sell it, like, we just want our cut.
Sell what?
But please don't email us anymore. Like, this is wild. Like, they didn't want to sue. They didn't want to, nothing.
He's just out here spending.
Maybe they just wanted this to go quietly into the night and not be embarrassed by the fact that they gave a lunatic $50
million. Oh, now we know.
You know? Yeah, we know now. We definitely know now. At the same time, Carl and Gabriella were in the middle of a bitter divorce.
Sounds
and it's possible
right.
The purchases were intended to hide his assets in the middle of the divorce proceedings, which makes sense.
Okay.
Because if you spend, like, you can go liquid. Well, you know what? That doesn't make sense to me, though, because he bought depreciating assets.
Right.
Like, if you're going to buy a car, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it's worth way less than what you purchased
it for. Same
for
furniture.
Furniture and the watch.
If anything, art. He should have done
yeah,
art.
He should have bought art. That's how you launder money, baby. He should have gone to Art Basel and rent it up. Like,
and then stored his cocaine behind it.
Like a classy person. What are you doing? This is not how you hide assets. Come on, buddy. We taught you better than this. So in public, Carl claims the cars and furniture were props for conquest. But in private, Carl is claiming that the money is not only contractually his, but that Netflix owes him $14 million more.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yo, he got audacity.
To say they all, and you know what? You actually owe me more.
The audacity of Carl, man. Forget the audacity of Hope. Sorry, Barack. The audacity of Carl.
Truly.
Wowzers. He said, I spent 50 of your things, and I would actually like 14 more.
How was he?
Also, he stole $10.5 million from production and just started gambling on the stock market.
I feel bad when I take too much from Crafty. Like a full unopened gum.
At this point, knowing what Carl did, the next time I'm at Crafty, I'm going to back my car up to that bitch. I'm going to just fucking put the whole table in my trunk.
Put the Annie's in my trunk. All the bunnies.
Now I'm going to be like, actually load the trays up and the little kerosene under the bottom. I want to keep it warm on the drive.
What are those things called?
Like the little
chafing dishes.
Yeah,
the or chafing something.
Yeah, I'll take it all. Yeah. No, you can leave the little blue thing, the little heat thing. You can keep it running. I want to keep it warm while I'm driving. No, that's cool. I'll take the table too. I could use some of them little fold out tables when I have company.
This is actually unprecedented, Lacey. They're like, have you heard of Carl?
Right. Have you heard of Carl? Because he stole. He stole like $50 million from Netflix, so this is light work.
Yeah.
Y'all can afford
in
another
fact,
table.
You owe me a sandwich.
Yeah, and I'll get it tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow for that. Okay. I want more. So the case is currently in the middle of arbitration, with the primary factor being that the money Netflix sent Carl was contingent on him making the show they paid for, and he has not. So they have a case. Like, so yeah. Carl went after Netflix and they're in the middle of arbitration right now.
So bold.
And Netflix is like, well, we were going to give you $14 million if you made this show. And he's like, well, I was going to make the show, but then y'all canceled the show. Now, the point.
If he wins.
If he wins.
Nothing is
like,
right in the world. Honestly, this is like Darvo. It's like that reverse victim thing that he's doing.
Yeah. But what's curious to me here is that if it's public knowledge that he asked for more money for production, and we know that he took out of the $11 million, 10.5 of the million, put it in his own personal Charles Schwab, and then gambled it on the stock market, how is that not embezzling from production? And if we know that, why is that not?
I know.
A part of
sometimes
this.
Laws are and lawsuits are so wild. They're like, well, he actually didn't press charges for that thing. You know, when a case goes off and they're like, get off scot free, and you're like, how did this happen?
How did this happen?
Like, oh, we didn't press the right charges. It's just like,
well, it doesn't even seem like
that. Out.
I'm not even seeing that in the research that we have here. That it doesn't even seem like Netflix is bringing that up as an issue.
Right. This is fishy.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's walking the earth.
Yo, Carl, write the book. Because I want to read it. I need to know. I want
to
do this.
I think we need the wife to ex-wife to write the book, right?
Yes. Gabriella.
Because I think we're going to get an alternate universe from him.
Yeah, you're right. With a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff about the earth's core. He's going to ramble a lot before he gets to the point. It's going to be like when, you know, you look up a recipe and they want you to stay on the website for a real long time. So then they start telling you a story about their granny. And I'm like, okay, but how many cups of flour do I need?
Scrolling through.
Yeah. And it's like, but then my granny had a club foot. And I'm like, the flour, girl. Get back to the flour. How many tablespoons of salt? Please. They're like, so when she would make this dough, she would have to sit sometimes. Okay, but I want to make the dough. Like, get to the baking soda.
Is
come
it
on.
A dash?
Right. How many dashes? And they're like, speaking of dashes, my dog was also named Dash. And then he would run in the yard. And I'm like, if you don't tell me. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. We need the wife. We need the wife to write the book. Yeah. You know what?
We need those deets.
Carl, you are iconic because I don't know how the hell you did this, and I want to. I want to do it myself.
I know. I didn't know that was an option.
Oh, we've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for being here, Beth. This was a blast.
I'll never be the same after knowing that Carl's out there.
I don't think I will either. Am I emboldened or am I enraged?
I want to be emboldened. I'm not surprised, but I'm shocked because he's not in jail, and then also not surprised. But yeah, we need that Carl confidence.
Yeah. We do. And you know what? You know what? I'm emboldened. I'm going to take a page. No, you know what? I'll end up in jail. So I'm not going to take a page out of his book, but I am going to take the audacity of Carl.
Yeah.
And we always ask Beth at the end, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to share? Any social media?
Well, you've been lovely about mentioning my special. It's out now on Netflix. It's called If You Didn't Want Me Then. Please watch it. My name is Beth.
Watch it. Beth Stelling. If You Didn't Want Me Then. And Beth actually made her special and put it on Netflix.
True.
Okay? So you can
watch
it. I
did. I bet on myself. And it sold.
Yes. And it sold. Unlike Carl. Okay?
And I delivered.
She delivered. Okay? And delivered. Okay? It's good. Y'all get out there if you didn't want me then. And social media? Any places?
Just at Beth Stelling. I guess I'm on Instagram.
Yeah, you are. You'll be on there.
Everything else is not
it's
good.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be on the things.
Yeah, I'm on there.
And as always, if you want to see these photos, you're going to want to see these photos. Scam Goddess Pod on Instagram. If you want to chat with me, Scam Goddess Pod on Twitter. And if you want to see me and my shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. And San Francisco, I don't know if there's any tickets left, but Sketchfest, January 21st at the Cobb Theater, 7 p.m. Come to Scam Goddess Live. It is going to be lit. Y'all already know if you come to these live shows, they are absolutely insane. So y'all pull up if there's any tickets left. Pull up, boom, me. And congregation, y'all get out there and y'all stay Carling.
Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar. And our audio engineer is Sam Kiefer. Research for the show is done by Caitlin Brand. Stay scamin'.